His grace and mercy. Today we'll discuss the tricky tension of trust alone, certainty, and righteous anger. The trap you and I too easily get seduced into is seeking to comfort and salve our immature soul and conscience with we, they language, calming what's unsettled in our hearts with the certain assurance they are wrong, and we are certainly righter, in the never-ending, fill-in-the-blank hot topic of church or society discussions and outrages. This temptation is a distraction from obedience, honestly. A fight over who deserves to be second or third on the kingdom seating chart. I've learned to better use my emotional, argumentative energies to instead crave reading the Bible as an autobiography, to argue with the text, to argue with my God in prayer. He's big enough to take my questions and my confusions and my frustrations and argue with myself. Even then, no matter the character in the Bible that I most align with in sin, my human minds, quickly supported by others, we too quickly call out and condemn the specks in another character whose sins we don't so easily see in ourselves. I'm so glad I'm not the rich man. My wife Lisa does the bills. I'm so glad I'm not like the Pharisees selling in the temple, or Sadducees, or so glad I'm not Republican, Democrat, those clearly sinful others. Can you tell if I'm Republican or Democrat yet? No, we will not allow ourselves to deny or avoid the specks and logs in our own just as grievous souls. While I'm tempted too quickly to denounce the rich man's obvious sin that Jesus or I or others can point out, instead I will invest my energies to personally assess where he is so blind, according to Jesus, where are my sins that align? He's a sinner. I am he. I am definitely not better than he. We are lulled and mesmerized by our certainty in our words and head knowledge. This is both beautiful and beautifully dangerous. We're called to not rest or praise our words and knowledge as our certainty. We should tread lightly about readily professing how right we have it. To me, it quickly echoes an Old Testament Pharisee arrogance where they profess with certainty how Jesus would and should answer questions the right way. We, as the living church, are too easily fooled or fool enough to be tempted to promote ourselves as complete. Or again, we battle to compete as the church with best theology. Careful. What do we boast about? Christ alone. I remember my fifth grade Lutheran student self walking the sidewalk home, wondering myself about how good I was. So maybe I'm a lot like the rich man. Or the two disciples' right-hand man request that we studied recently here at St. Luke's. I thought maybe I had arrived. That was pretty impressive in my eyes. I certainly sinned less than the troublemakers in my class. At that point in my life, I was a complete rule follower. I believed in Jesus. I got A pluses on my memory. Is faith and trust merely being able to be certain of answers? If so, have you and I arrived? Is it finished? Is our obedience finished? Obviously, he has taught me over and over again since. Jesus had a public ministry of 3 years. I've lived 8 3-year tours as a so-called Christian, so-called adult. And like you and my fifth grade self and the men surrounding Jesus in our texts, I'm regularly humbled and yet almost instantly tout to myself and others how much I know and how fully I've arrived. As I look back on every 3-year tour, I see just how foolishly my acquired certainties in that phase of life have been. Faith and family, teaching, relationships. still so wrong in my certainties and actions and words. They're certainly better than the prior 3-year tour, yet certainly still fully filled with many errors, foolishness, and gaps in obedience. What a deceptive idol certainty is. Jesus' trust and obedience walk on earth, that is finished. We are called to the beautiful earthly faith challenge to certainly trust and now certainly obey with all of our core and energy for all of our days. What a boring idol certainty is to us as unique creative creations. Why would we want to settle into a comfortable faith dead zone? We get to creatively live and love endlessly and not be deceived by faux faith finish lines. We read Hosea at St. Luke's. It provides beautifully convicting word from God to them then for their disobedience, which is also us, we now as God's people. Wake up, why won't you obey, he says. 3 episodes in the gospel today for reflection. The disciples go willingly to grab the so-called colt or donkey that Jesus says the owners will hand over when the disciples simply say, Jesus needs it, he'll give it back. Internally, would I go? If so, I'm filled with questions and apprehensions. What are they going to say? How am I going to answer? What are they going to think of me? How quickly and willingly the disciples obeyed fetching the animal with these unknowns and uncertainties. How and why would this request or command even work? A neat disciple example of trust and obedience. Not perfect, we can't expect that as sinful humanity, but bold in obedience. The second episode of the fig tree baffles my mind. Jesus, in perfection, curses a fig tree for not bearing fruit in the dormant season when it's not supposed to bear fruit. Does this mean there is no down season of when God bears fruit in the people of his creation either? His fruit is always coming to fruition. It sounds like Jesus is angry here. This doesn't sound fair to me. And I'll use this confusion to think on, and more importantly, I'll submit to the one true God, our Creator, Savior, Sustainer, and Judge. Whether I feel like it's just or unjust is not my role as disciple of God. As I listen to the Word in the flesh, Jesus, I submit to his leadership modeling, his words, actions, silences, and will. With plenty of uncertainty in me, I will obediently follow and trust, God willing. The final episode today, Jesus flips tables in a church, temple. I've heard and seen we as Christians many times use this text. We love it. Rationalizing righteous anger. Jesus flips tables as the perfect God. Anger is okay. Does Jesus get angry? Yes. Does he act out in anger? But we as Christians, we're mad. We're Christians, we get mad. We feel wronged. We are wronged. We entitle ourselves to go beyond being angry in emotion and acting out our anger in the name of an approved righteous anger, like Jesus did in the temple. When does acting out our anger benefit you? Me. The other. The audience of onlookers. Why would they be interested in this walk of trust and obedience as a kingdom set apart, not the ordinary way of human and worldly business, if we act just like everyone else when we're angry? Roma Downey's movie of Jesus' life, it's one I enjoyed and struggled with different retellings of the movie, of Jesus' actions, words. It's beautiful, straight out of the Bible, word for word. Has a version of Jesus flipping tables. One of my favorite parts as I continue to ponder. Jesus' face, not full of anger and aggression, at clear disrespect. but face and heart full of compassion, exacerbation, tempered anger, wanting them and us to see the wrongs in our ways, how we comfortably twist God's word and will. In conclusion, we've got the beautiful challenge each moment of each day of obediently loving, serving our Lord and His creation like Jesus shows us. And that happens amidst a guarantee of constant earthly uncertainties in every person and situation. This uncertainty within and without is most certainly true, most certainly confusing, frustrating, daunting. Yet He has called you and I into the comfort of a God-created and grown trust with His exhilarating invitation to trust Him into full and creative obedience. Just as He, while on earth, faithfully, trustingly submitted in each moment to full obedience to His Father, Jesus invites now, follow me, do it likewise. You and I will continuously reflect on the interactions of Jesus in the Bible with people of all ranks and stations. These are autobiographical moments for us, using our energies for growing clarity and conviction in our personal reflection that moves us into invested personal relationship with Holy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and invested personal relationship in the people and His creation. We'll use our energies to be bold enough to be comforted in this life of uncertainty, while we humble ourselves to honestly think through not only which money tables Jesus flipped in the temple and why, but also which tables Jesus patiently, sincerely, and deliberately is flipping in the temples in our own hearts. May His work of trust and obedience that He has begun within us and amongst us be brought to completion as His will bears His fruit in each and every season. This is our prayer, God and His living work succeeding our life's certainties. Amen.